Welcome everyone back to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. I'm joined by my delightful co-host, Darius.
It's a me, a podcastio.
Oh, wow. We are not talking about Italy, guys, today, even though with that poor example of an accent, we are talking about COVID.
It's a me, virusio.
Yes, because you haven't heard enough. You need to hear more. You also obviously wanted to hear our opinion of it. So here we are talking about coronavirus, the pandemic, the news that stops the nation.
Spoiler alert, we don't like it.
Spoiler alert, it's still happening. We didn't record this one too long ago, but, it's currently July of 2020 for those in the future listening back. And it started really in, I guess,
January,
really, but kind of hit the world big time in around late Feb, March. So yeah. It's been a while and it's not really going anywhere. And the fact that this is a travel podcast, it would be really silly to not actually address what's happening. So yeah, we're just talking about what we're kind of going through at the moment. And I did some interviews at the start of it. And so we're going to bring those in at some point. We're still working out what we're going to do with them, but talked to some people around the world and got to hear how they're going with it. And so yeah, it'd be cool to sort of track this series, I guess.
Yeah. Have a listen. We're going to give it a go anyway.
Yeah, have a listen to our banter and see how we got to that conclusion.
Have a listen, leave some feedback, and roll episode.
Go. So what's your rules so you can't travel outside?
Can't travel outside, what?
Over the border.
Oh, no, we can. And the, they decided on a European level because, you know, a lot of countries, especially in, like, the south of Europe, pretty much rely on the yearly influx of tourists from within the EU. So they've, you know, and people are going on holidays, the school holidays started, like summer holidays started for most people already. And you can travel. It's fine. They've just like, there was a few outbreaks that they've had in certain regions and those people from those regions aren't allowed to go anywhere.
It's like here, Victoria.
Well, here it's like based on a city, so it's not like a whole state.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's like same. Same population.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. It's, you know, maybe 100,000 people or something. I don't know. But, there was a big outbreak in an abattoir and, The thing is, though, like, well, two things came to light. One, that the, you know, the working conditions are really bad for, because, like, this, it's full of, like, Eastern European workers, a lot of Romanians and Hungarians and Bulgarians and stuff. And they live, like, you know, 5-6 people in, like, 20 square meter rooms and all this sort of shit. Like, it's modern slavery. There's no other way to say it. And yeah, so that came, you know, that was in the news. And then also, like, you know, how they just didn't give a shit about the COVID rules and regulations. But it, like, to be fair, probably wasn't possible for them to do it. At the same time, like, that doesn't excuse it. It's just, you know, just what happened.
But it's up to the employers as well. Like, it's sort of too pronged. And well, I don't know if you've seen here, probably not, but what happened in Melbourne is like they shut down these two massive like housing commission towers. Mm. So same thing, you know, people lower socioeconomic, living in lots of people in one place, not social distancing from foreign countries, so maybe getting different mixed messages from home, yeah. All that sort of stuff. Anyway, but also things spread faster in those areas. So anyway, but they like sent this massive police presence there and the right. People were just like super outraged. They're like, you know, you're not even doing that to the same degree at the airports.
Yeah.
Like, and that was their first step where it's like, and then they've gone, okay, now we're sending health professionals, and they hired heaps like Woolworths staff to deliver the food and all this stuff. But like,
that's weird.
They had all these measures to do, but like just that the police went first.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, just very distasteful. And then, like, you know, they had them locked in these towers, and then they fucking let a plane fly from Melbourne to Sydney and let them off the plane.
Right.
And you're like, you had a captive audience. You had them on a bloody, in a tin can, and you let them just go. But these people, you've got police 24/7, like, make the same rules, you know?
Yeah. Well, like the abattoir and the associated city or the council or whatever, they asked the army for help, but just so they could get people to do testing and stuff, because they really needed like manpower.
Yeah. They have got the same here. The military have been from other states have gone down to help.
Yeah.
And the SES and all that are set up here and stuff. It's pretty hectic.
Mm.
But, you know, it's what we got to keep expecting.
Yeah, I don't know. I like, I'm very fortunate in Germany because they just love their rules so much. it feels like it's pretty well under control. Like, there are, like, you know, like in Düsseldorf, like the party street, the police are having a tough time, or the city's having a tough time enforcing all the rules there, like, because there's so many people and they get drunk and then, you know, no one gives a shit about the rules anymore. But, like, all in all, it doesn't, you know, it still feels pretty normal. Like, it's just inconvenient, some things, but that's pretty much the height of the feeling. Like, it's not scary or anything. It's just like, shit, forgot my mask. I have to drive home again so I can go shopping. Or, like, just weird rules for, like, not being able to go into places when there's too many people in there already and stuff like that. But, like, it seems kind of under control.
Yeah, that's the problem here. I think that people are just so arrogant and so used to being able to do what they want.
Mm.
Like, you know, you're not going to tell me what to do. And it's like, we had it down. We had it down so low. We were just about to get up to the next stage of like easing. And then you just took the piss. And even the other day after they made the lockdown, some people went to KFC and ordered 20 meals. Two of them.
Right.
So the KFC were like, seems suspicious. Called the police, said maybe follow where they're going, followed them back to the house, and there's like 20 people there having a party after the lockdown. And they're like, fucking fines. So they gave $26,000 worth of fines out.
Jesus.
To some high teenagers. Like, you're idiots. You deserve it. Like,
well,
they're asking you, they're asking us for a time to restrict your behavior.
Mm.
And then once it's minimized, then we get to go to a different type of restrict. Like, but people are just selfish. Like, no, but I want to see my friends. I want to do this. I want to go here. Or that's what I used to do. So I can.
Yeah. Well, all the like not meeting people outside of your household rules, they've opened that up like all the way pretty much. Like, it's starting to feel pretty normal again. But people are still a little bit on edge, I feel. Like, there's not the same sort of, I don't know. Maybe because, like, it is summer, but, like, all week it was raining. Or the last 2 weeks it's been raining pretty much every day, which puts a bit of a downer on it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to get famous enough so that this could be an episode.
No, I think it still could be an episode. I know it's on my like to-do list. I've got to go back and have a listen through some of the stuff, but especially now that it's still going, like, it'd be really cool to do a throwback, or to have a couple, like, do, you know, to a release in a week where we have like, this is where we're at now. We're talking right now, and this is the date. You know, it's the start of July. It's been going for 4 months. Sorry, it's mid-July.
Can I see what you're saying?
And
okay,
then,
we'll pretend I didn't say that, and we'll keep talking about it.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, we have this flashback to when I did it, which was April. I had this grand idea, and I still can contact all those people again and ask them how things. And you were one of the people that I talked to, so we do have a a then and now.
Mm.
So I think the fact is, like, nobody knows how long it's going to last. It's a global effort. And so even though it's great to see some countries are doing really well, like you said, Germany are rule followers and,
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, you're still not going to be able to, like, the world's not going to be able to conduct normally, you know, and Australia's taking it very seriously in terms of, you know, we don't really care what's happening in other places. We're going to keep ourselves under control and not let anyone in until it's all under control.
Mm.
So, you know, having Qantas flights grounded until July 2021.
Really?
International Qantas. The, they have grounded their A380s and their 747s.
Jeez.
Gone and parked them somewhere in the US.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
a pretty big indication. It's not to say that other airlines won't fly. I'll send you the article. It's pretty interesting. Other airlines are flying in and out. Like the UAE, you know, Emirates, Etihad, they've never stopped passenger flights. United Airlines haven't stopped from Australia to the US. My brother works for United Cargo, so I do get the inside scoop. But they're still at the moment, you still have to have very strong reasons to leave Australia and very strong reasons to be coming into Australia. And basically that's you have to be a resident.
Hmm.
You know, resident or compassion or moving here or moving away.
Hmm. And I heard you have to, like, if you arrive in Australia, you have to, it costs you like 2 weeks. You have to spend $250 a day or something for the.
Yeah, it's about $4,000.
What the hell?
So, well, the thing is, it's been 4 months now in Australia. They were allowing people to come home and they were, so initially there was no quarantine or there was self-quarantine, you know, please go home and self-quarantine.
Yeah.
Clearly it wasn't being followed. So then they changed it to, it was please self-quarantine. That was like mandatory self-quarantine. We'll be doing checks at the doors. That was like still not being followed. So it's like now you have to go into hotels of our choice and you'll be kept there for 2 weeks, you know, under guard pretty much. Mm. And then, you know, but that would have cost thousands to the government. And so now they've got to a point where they're like, we told you to come home. You know, we told you if you want to come to Australia, come home. And so now they've said no. Now if you're coming home from now on, you know, some people haven't had that luxury of choice of like they haven't been able to get on a flight home. I've heard of flights costing $8,000.
Yeah.
Just to get back. And doing like crazy routes because there are so limited flights. So having to go really wacky routes. But, you know, now it's actually even interstate as well. So people who, because Melbourne have had Melbourne and Victoria have had an escalation, you have to, if you've been in Melbourne in the past 2 weeks, you're not allowed into Queensland, into my state. And if you had been, so like I know a guy who sadly went to his brother's funeral in Melbourne and like overnight they changed the rule. So he flew back into Brisbane and had to pay for a hotel.
That's crazy. Why is it so expensive? But okay.
I know, you wish you could just go to a motel, but I guess they can't just, they've had selected motels with selected capacity so they can kind of, again, contain it.
But, like, it seems if they're going to, like, do it, like, book out a hotel just for quarantine people, like, that it shouldn't be, like, the premium rate.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know. I guess Australia is not the model country of you know, citizen-friendly democracy anyway. So
No. But we have had it pretty good in terms of like the people who have been able to access. We have a thing called JobKeeper and JobSeeker. Yep. The people who've been able to access that, you know, that's $1,500 a fortnight for people who are out of work. For some people, that's worked out quite well. For some people, that's a loss and a cut of income. You know, my husband was on it, and that was pretty good for the time. But, you know, in the US, they got a one-off payment of $1,200. And, yeah, I mean, in other countries, there would be $0 given by the government to their people.
Yeah, I know. Look, in Germany, they've got a, it's called Kurzarbeit, like short work. And it's a thing based like out of the production industry, or like on a, you know, people working on production lines when there's less demand. But they've opened it up to all sorts of industries. And so I'm on 80% pay at the moment as well. The company pays 80%. And the government makes up 70% of the difference. So it works out, I don't know, like 20% less or something like that. But that's, you know, that's massive. They've done that. Like, lots of companies are doing it. Lots of people are on it. And it's good because it doesn't have to be 80%. Like, you can go as a company, you can pay even less. And there are supposed to be quite strict rules that you can't actually then work more, but a lot of companies are just seeing it as like a break, a wage break sort of, and we're still working pretty much normally. So,
And that's, I mean, one of my friends is on the JobKeeper, and like, she was doing a day a week for it, which is like pretty good day of work for her. Now they just like, we just don't have anything for you. Like, we're just pausing the company. It's a travel company. They're like, we're just basically putting it on. Once that thing came out from Qantas, like, it really put the writing on the wall for a lot of travel companies. Like, you just cannot guarantee a trip before mid next year. That's, you know, crazy. Internally it's different. Like, I've seen some now, I really hope for Australian domestic tourism, like, it'd be a really great opportunity for people to see the country, and I hope those operators do well. But for companies who largely have an international sort of offering, it's just super uncertain. And it's so funny, people still saying to me, you know, oh, I feel for you, and you're probably feeling the way I am and really missing it. And I think looking down the barrel, like, of a long time, it's a bit harder. Like, I had sort of, you know, definitely resigned to the fact that this year was no go.
Yeah.
But we have a friend's wedding in May in Ibiza, and I really, you know, because Ibiza's awesome, but also I was going to tee that up with a trip to see the family in the UK, and I thought, you know, just keep it simple, not my big going around to lots of countries, because I'm not sure that's going to be the greatest idea after all this time to go bang, bang, bang like I usually do. But I thought if I could go there and just go to those two places, it'd be so nice. And now I just think, just not sure, you know, if it's possible, and I could do it with another airline and it's not outrageously priced and I'm allowed out of the country. But, you know, when the major carrier of the country makes a decision like that, it's pretty, they probably have some inside information, you know, on the landscape. So that's a bit hard, but like I say, it's it is what it is for now, and we just have to take each day as it comes.
Yeah, fuck Corona.
That is the summary to this episode. So what I did, at the start of Corona was I was having some pretty crazy, like, long days and nights, and I did have this podcast in mind at the time, but it was also like I didn't know if I was going to make a good, because I did them on Zoom, it was going to be like a video series, or whether they just turn into blog posts or whatever. I also got people to write me like 100 words about what was the situation in their country, so it's a pretty easy way to get people to tell me what was happening with them.
Interviewed
some people like in Paris. I got a guy from Cambodia. I had people from Texas, California, two parts of California. I had people from Slovakia, Germany, yourself. Tell me what was happening, three different states in Australia. Tell me what was like you know? So it would be really cool to go back and revisit them. I mean, it was funny because I had an idea of like, I was like, I'll try and talk to you in a month. And the month kind of went fast. It was weird. Like lockdown's been this weird time warp of dragging, yet also can't believe it's been 4 months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And then I was like, yeah, going to do 1 month and then 6 months time. And I was like, oh, if we're still in this situation in 6 months, So then when, you know, when it was starting to kind of look like things were not getting better, I was like, what's the difference between interviewing them 1 month later and 2 months later? And for places like LA and Texas, I mean, you know, it's sort of like, oh, I'll be a bit of a boring conversation by then. No, they are quite a shit storm still. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was what I was doing. I just was like, it's just interesting to talk to people.
Well, time permitting, and we'll have to talk about the format a little bit more, but I'm sure we can squeeze in those episodes. Maybe people can let us know if they're interested or have something to share.
Yeah, I think at this stage we might do like a snippets one. So some like snippets from each place and each person. That would be kind of cool. And if there's a desire for it, I don't know, people might be well and truly over it, but it might be kind of cool to do a bit of a time capsule. I have all the recordings, so... you know, if we
it would
want
to be a shame to not use them, but I think yeah, maybe that's a good idea. We make like a multi episode out of it, and then you know if people are interested in hearing the follow ups, then we'll record them and
yeah, feedback. You know, yeah, because it would be really cool to play that back to the people too, and do a bit of a
yeah
check in.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well.
We'll wrap this
one
up.
Let us know what you think. We'll wrap this one up.
This is a bit of a funny one.
It's going to be interesting to see what the first part of our chat sounds like, because we weren't really planning on this being an episode, but it's turned into it, and I like the idea. So, yeah.
That's a cool thing. It's our podcast.
We can do whatever we like. Yeah, well, you guys just have to sit there and listen to it.
It's a bit ridiculous to have a travel podcast at this time and not bring up Corona
and not
bring up COVID because yeah. it sort of comes up in the episodes I chat to people or we sort of make a sort of, you know, but at this time,
yeah,
you know, dancing like around the enormous like elephant, you know, we're just in a time of a pandemic, which has happened throughout history, but it's just a very different experience to other times in history.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll wrap this one up and get on with what we plan to do. And, okay. Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And
stay tuned for more on this.
Stay tuned.
And we might be a little bit of a bumper week of some COVID action.
Yeah. Well,
so you need more of that, guys. You just need to hear more about it.
I'll go into the basement and shout at the editors so that they get a move on.
Yeah,
throw them an extra bucket of fish heads.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Listening, and yeah, this is just the start of this, which I guess is kind of a feeling of COVID in general, isn't it? But no, look, had some really amazing conversations, and I would love to share those, and it would be really interesting to get those people back and just to do a bit of a time capsule of what was happening then and what's happening now. And also, we plan to share with you hopefully soon a bit of a summary of those chats and the vibe back in March 2020.
You know what would be cool, Em?
What?
If we got someone on who had or has COVID.
I know someone, and they were actually someone
okay,
that I interviewed.
Perfect. I know someone as well.
Okay.
Just an idea, putting it out there. What do you think, listeners? Thank you for listening to us.
I don't know how cool it is, but like maybe like...
Why wouldn't it be cool?
Okay, it would be interesting, I think, is the term.
Thanks.
Survivors.
Survivors?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Survived.
Well, we'll have, yeah, it's, this is a succinct outro we are formulating right now. What is happening next episode, Emma?
El siguiente episodio es España.
Ah, muchas gracias, señorita.
hablo un poquito español y estoy emocionada a introducir mi amigo Pedro de España, de Barcelona.
Sí. Damn it. Hang on. Yep.
For those who don't speak Spanish.
Like me.
I will be chatting with my beautiful friend. I actually call him mi hermano, my brother, Pedro.
My brother.
My brother. From my Pedro from Spain. So it's our first local in-country interview apart from you and me.
Yep.
So Pedro is in Spain talking about Spain, me talking about when I visited and I visited him, and so it's really cool. And it was just beautiful to catch up with him. So I really look forward to sharing that conversation.
Sí. It's el episodio mucho grande especial. Dos cerveza, por favor.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to roll this up, wrap this up. You know all the things, guys. Email us at info@lovelytravels.com. Search Lovely Travels, website, Facebook group, Instagram. We love hearing from you. We love your feedback. Rate, review, subscribe, and please come again next week.
Please come again. Thank you.
Okay, bye.